first reading is Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. And it's found in the Church Bibles on page 1170. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, starting at verse 15. And you'll find that on page 1027. That's Luke 2, 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
To Mary and Joseph, they were in Egypt at the time, so we'd moved further ahead. But what we're doing today is we're actually taking a little bit of a step back. We're going actually to remain in Bethlehem for this part about the shepherds. And actually, we're still on Christmas night. So we're going to be looking at how the shepherds reacted to the birth of Jesus. And we're also nearly a week away from Christmas now. So it's probably good to consider, while we're still in Christmas, just where we are. So should we just pray? Most of all for what's coming, and that we don't get any more interruptions, but just let's pray as we still our hearts and come before God. Father, we thank you that whatever is going on, whatever technology takes place, you are still here. You want your word to be preached, and you are with us, just as you are with us all the time. And Father, we pray that the words that are said today will have an impact on our lives as we move forward through Christmas and through into the new year. Amen. So strangely, as I sort of said to somebody this morning, the passage that we read today is only half of the shepherd's story. It is about how they reacted to what they were told. And it misses out the arrival of the angel visiting them. But I just want to just go back to those first few verses before, in Luke verses 8 to 14, just to give you some context as to where this is going. So what we have here are a group of shepherds, and they are out there tending their sheep, when to start with, a solitary angel appears to them and tells them the good news about Jesus' birth. Now, it isn't any coincidence that we have shepherds in this story. If you look through at Jesus' ministry, shepherds play a vital part. Parables about the shepherds, about tending sheep, about Jesus being the shepherd, flow through the Gospels. So the very first visitors to the Christ child become an important part of his ministry later on. The other important factor is that they were relatively poor. They were not the high-standing people that you might have expected someone who was going to be born to be king and saviour to be mentioned to. And certainly not to have this news first. Where would you expect the proclamation of a king to be taken place? Well, maybe in the place where people worship. Maybe it was supposed to be taking place in the temple. But no, it didn't. It was taking place in a very small town, which was away from the temple, but it was significant. So not only was there the significance of the fact that there were the people who were not the highest, but the place it was taking place as well was also important, because that was the place where, as the angel said, it was the city of David. It in fact was where King David was born. So it emphasises the importance of that town, but also that is the place where this king is being brought to mention. And the angel also gives them pointers to where they'll find the baby, lying in a manger and wrapped in cloths. Now, you shouldn't be surprised that finding that baby was probably not going to be an easy task. I know that traditionally we think of there being an inn and Mary and Joseph not being able to find accommodation, so they went to a stable. I think it was Jason at some point in time, he's over there somewhere, had this test of, you had all these little things that were supposed to be, is it in the Bible or is it not? One of them I think was, Jesus was born in a stable. It doesn't actually say Jesus was born in a stable. It does mention the manger, as we heard, but it doesn't actually talk about a stable. Traditionally, in those days, people kept animals. We don't think about it today. The animals we have are dogs and cats, aren't we, that we keep in our houses. But in those days, people kept animals. They would have had cows, sheep, etc., because they needed food. And where did they keep the animals? They had to have somewhere for them. So the traditional houses in those days were the ground floor for animals, and the upstairs accommodation were for people to live in. Now, when you realise that, it makes a bit more sense that where Mary and Joseph came to a house, there wasn't any room upstairs, so they slept downstairs where the animals were. So in fact, probably what they were looking for lying in a manger was the downstairs of somewhere where they had taken place. So Mary and Joseph had no guest room, as they said. And again, if we went to Chelmsford today and we were hoping in search of a manger, we'd probably know where to go, wouldn't we? You know, we'd have to find a farm somewhere. That's where we'd expect to find a manger. But with people having animals, there were probably lots of mangers around. So the search for Jesus would have taken some time. But it's verses 13 and 14 that are really astounding. Just imagine suddenly a great company. That means that there were many of them. Cherubim and seraphim, heavenly hosts. In other words, what happened was heaven at that minute came down to earth. And what were they doing? Glory to God in the highest. They were worshipping. So imagine what the shepherds were feeling at that time. Excitement, awe, amazement. Whatever they felt, it must have been a truly wonderful feeling. So having that context, we then come back to today's reading. The angels have gone, and they're now back to normal. There is no heavenly host. There's no bright lights, no worship, just the normal sheep probably bleating in the darkness. And maybe it's cold. They start to feel the cold after all that excitement. Doesn't that what it feels like after Christmas for us sometimes? Christmas Day is a bit like a heavenly high sometimes. And Christmas itself is like a heavenly high. We have all those lovely things we associate with Christmas. Lights, carol services, all those things that really bring us to think about worshipping. And then, suddenly, it all goes. Some of you, well, decorations seem to have disappeared from in here. They're all gone. The tree's gone. I have to say, mine are up till the 5th of January, but that's another point. But I'm sure some of yours are as well. But we start to get back to the normal routines of life. So this is something that we really can understand well. So the shepherds decide to go and search out what they've been told. And as we've already said, it wasn't probably any mean task. It may have taken them some time to find. You need to find a house, a manger and a baby lying asleep inside of it. And notice that they left everything behind. The sheep, they felt, could look after themselves. Or sometimes I think maybe that one or two of them didn't go. And there could be various reasons. You know, perhaps they felt that the task going out to find the baby was too great. Or maybe there were some who still didn't believe. But most of those shepherds, certainly a group of them, searched and found the baby, who was lying in a manger. Notice how Luke shows us that they found the baby exactly as the pointers have suggested, in a manger and wrapped in cloths. Luke doesn't go into huge, great detail about what happened when they found Jesus. We know that they'd seen him, so there is an encounter. But I would guess, knowing the importance of the baby, they would have worshipped and adored him. That we know that they went back and spread the word about what they saw. And we know that they considered that this was an event which was a significant one. We know too from the response that those who had heard about what the shepherds saw were amazed. And we know the shepherds thought this was one of the most important parts of their lives, because they went out and they did that and they told people. We know too that they were worshipping and glorifying God once they'd returned. So this was an event that would have influenced them for the rest of their lives. We also know that these events were important to Mary. The Bible says she treasured all these and pondered them in her heart. Now, I suspect that she told these events later on to those disciples who were around. And from those, Matthew and Luke wrote about them in the Gospels. Pondering and treasuring those in her heart meant she was able to talk about Jesus' birth later on. So, what does this encounter mean for us, the Sunday after Christmas? Firstly, what are we doing now that the excitement of Christmas is over? We should carry on with our daily lives. We've got to put all the routines back, we know that. We have to make plans for next year. We should be doing all these things. But we should also first be looking for the manger. In other words, does Jesus become the Christ child in our lives before we return to our daily routines? Secondly, do we come to worship? The shepherds came to find Jesus, but more importantly, they came to worship him and give thanks to God. Our first call is to worship. Even when the joys of Christmas are over, when that little part of heaven that I was talking about a minute ago goes down into the mists of time till next year, we still need to look to Jesus and to worship him. Do we find the manger to adore the Christ child? Coming to the manger to worship should be part of our daily lives. Thirdly, the natural response to seeing Jesus is not to only worship him, but to tell others. Christmas does give us a wonderful chance for those outside to come in and see the Christmas story and to share with us in that amazement that we see. And we draw them into all the things that go on at Christmas. And it can give them an idea of what the manger with that Christ child, child means to us. We should be finding opportunities to tell them and draw them in once Christmas is over, to keep telling them the good news. I'd like to take a few minutes to think about how we might respond. Because Christmas and the busyness has now gone, as in the reading, the angels have gone, we've come back to our normal routine. Once more, just like the shepherds, the night is dark now, but we need to go to Bethlehem and to see the Christ child and to worship him. So let's be still. Imagine we see the lights in the houses in Bethlehem. And as we draw near to those lights, we're guided to a couple with a newborn baby, who is Jesus, the Saviour and Lord. And as you draw near to the manger, open your heart to receive him and begin to worship. So as you feel comfortable where you're sitting now or where you are, join me as we start to worship.